Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Once you arrive at Proverbs chapter 9, I'd like for you to find verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Would you please, out of respect to the Word of God, stand with me? I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 7. I'll read through verse number 11. The Bible says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself a shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." And let's pray. Father, bless tonight. Take this short and simple challenge and make us better because of it. Father, we sure love these folks that are sitting on the front row. We want their lives to count for you. We want them to be happy and successful. Take the words that are used tonight and the words that are spoken tonight and get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The book of Proverbs is often referred to as the book in the Bible, a book of wisdom. And I really believe that. The Bible says in verse number 10 of Proverbs chapter 9, it said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And young people, if there's one thing you want to get in life, that's wisdom. Oh, gather all the wisdom you can possibly get. There's a little comparison made here within these verses. The Bible starts talking about a person that's called a scorner. And that's a negative title. And then the opposite is God speaks of someone that is a wise person, someone that's gathering wisdom. It said there in verse number 4, if you reprove a scorner or if you try to correct a scorner, it'll cause shame. That means you go to correct a scorner, someone that's got a bad attitude, if you will. It'll create tension. It becomes almost harmful to your relationship with them. It said you reprove the scorner, you could get to yourself a blot. In other words, maybe that means you get just kind of put on their emotional hit list. They're upset with you. If your name were on a piece of paper, they'd scribble your name right off because they don't want to talk with you. You reprove a scorner, it says in verse number 8, it may even get to the point where they'll hate you. Now that scorner, that's not a good thing. That's not a good attitude. That's not a good place to be with what you are in life. Oh, but I love it. In verse number 8, it said, if you rebuke a wise man, and that's not just talking about man, male, gender. It's talking about you rebuke a wise Christian and they'll love you. You rebuke, and then it actually says in verse number 9, if you instruct a wise person, somebody that wants to be wise, they will become even wiser. So there's increase. It said that in verse number 9, if you teach a just person, you teach a wise person, and they're going to increase in their learning. Now, by the time you get to verse number 11, it says this, and let me read it to you again. It says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied." What's happened here is the thing called wisdom has been personified. The me here, when it says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied," wisdom has become personified, and it's almost like wisdom is talking to someone. Wisdom said, "Now if you'll get me, then your years will be multiplied." What that means is, if you'll become wise, you'll live longer. Not only will you live longer, if you become wise, you'll live a fuller life, a cleaner life. Now, young people, you're not going to get through this life without heartaches. I wish you would, but you won't. You won't get through this life without burdens and challenges, but I can tell you this, if you will get this thing called wisdom, the number of burdens will be minimized. Oh, there'll be some that'll come your way. But I will promise you, if you'll be careful and you'll get wisdom, there are some tragic situations in life that you can detour. Dr. Howard, when he prayed earlier, He said, help these graduates to be cautious with their life so that they might avoid some of the pitfalls in life. And God said, if you'll get wisdom, I can help your life to be a longer life, a richer life, and a more fulfilling life. And I believe that. You won't be able to tell it by watching me or listening to me, but I've been around the educational field a lot. I've been around education most all of my life. I went to school as a young person and then found myself involved right away with college, and out of college I became a college professor and then got into the administrative end of colleges. So I've been around education a lot. My kindergarten teacher was Mrs. Meeks. I was in love with her, and she was worth being in love with. I was too young. She told me that. It wouldn't work. But I graduated from kindergarten. That was the easiest graduation I ever had. I went to school for 1 year. We played in this sandbox, and you drew pictures. They didn't even have to look like anything, and everybody said you were brilliant, and I knew it, and they didn't. And I thought, well, fine. I just scribble on here, and you all say, you're just a cute kid. You're so good. I'm going to give you an A. And I thought, this is easy. But it got harder. I went off to grade school. I graduated from Willard Elementary School. That was really something. Made it all the way through the sixth grade, and I was so glad to get out of the sixth grade. Then I went to Driver Junior High School. That was our middle school. And that was a little tougher. It wasn't like grade school. We did, in Driver Junior High School, we did start a food fight. I mean, a literal food fight in our cafeteria. Debbie Hill had a white top on. And did you know that if you take chocolate pudding and suck it into your straw, it turns into this worm in your straw. And if you blow it, it's cool. And we thought it'd be a good idea to see what that would do on her white top. And she didn't like it. And before long, we were flinging food everywhere. And I got to have a discussion with the principal about it. And he wasn't in favor of it. And I can't tell you about the rest of what happened, because it's child abuse, in my opinion, what happened to me. But believe it or not, I made it through junior high school. Then I went to Winchester Community High School. I did not have the privilege of going to a Christian school. I would have had if it would have been made available to me. I didn't. And we made it through our high school, and I graduated. I went off to college, and when you're as dumb as me, boy, it takes you a long time. I couldn't even begin. I'm not even going to try to figure out how many years I was in college. Now, I graduated from college on 5 different occasions, and I was the vice president of the largest fundamental Baptist college in our nation for some time. I founded and was president of another college. I still travel and go and teach. I just a couple weeks ago went to a college and gave them a bunch of time and taught at their school, and I've been around education a lot. I got to tell you something. When I was president and vice president of college, often seniors would come and see me. We would talk about their launch into life. Now, understand that I was helping in a college that trained people for the ministry. But they would come and see me, and we'd sit down and we'd talk about their futures. I think virtually I've counseled thousands of people graduating from college through the years. Well, I could kind of tell if they were truly ready. I could tell if college had done its job for them, if graduation had accomplished what it needed to accomplish. You say, how? They sat in my office across from me and my desk, and they were cocky and arrogant. And when they told me they were ready, I knew they were not. You know who impressed me? It's the ones that were humble, scared, and not really wanting to go. Their attitude was like this: I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not sure I've learned enough. Those were the ones that tended to be the ones that become successes. You say, how is that? If I've learned something about education, graduation time is not the end. graduation time is the beginning. This will sound a little silly to you. I could tell you what kind of education you received. If you think you received a good enough education that you learned everything you need, you didn't get a good education. If you got the right education, you realized how much there is to learn. Your education merely brushed the surface of what's available to your mind, what's available to your potential. And so if you say, you know, Brother Owens, I want to graduate and hoopla, yay. But in your heart, you ought to say, I'll tell you this. If I had my way, I wouldn't mind being a sophomore in high school again, let my mom and dad pay the bills and somebody take care of me and feed me and solve my problems. It's a big world out there. And just be careful not to develop the attitude that I'm done. I've learned what I need. I have everything that I need. As your pastor and as your friend, I have to tell you, there is so much more you're going to learn. There is so much more that you're going to need. If you received a good education, then you'll be smart enough to know there are a lot of challenging days ahead of you. And I just call this little sermon, and I won't take long, I promise. I just call it, graduation is the beginning of learning, not the end. And you'll be challenged at college graduation, high school graduation, whatever graduation. They're going to challenge you, and they'll specifically challenge you about education in your future. I want to talk to you a little bit about the spiritual aspect of things. But let me tell you, there's more to learn. There's more to learn. First of all, Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Notice it's talking about increasing your learning. Wise man, it says, will hear. There's something my dad used to say to me, and I'm glad it began to sink in. He said, son, listen more than you talk. Listen more than you talk. You're going to hear a lot of things. And if I were you, just be careful to listen. And don't just listen with your ears. Listen with your heart. Listen with your mind, but there's a lot yet to learn. Hey, can I recommend something to all of you? You're not kids now. You're young adults. But always be willing to let somebody that's older than you and wiser than you help you. Get some advice here and there. I get the privilege of being pastor and be your pastor and friend. I'm 56 years of age. I did graduate from college 5 times. I've been around. I've done a lot of things. I've been a lot of places. I've been all around this world. I've been in every level of education I've been involved in, overseeing schools at all levels, seminaries, the whole thing. I have to tell you something. I hardly go but a couple weeks that I don't call someone and say, I need some advice about this or that. I still seek advice. The Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Keep learning. Keep learning and reach out and let people help you. Let people teach you. I'm going to tell you about me. The smarter I thought I was getting, the more I realized I was not as smart as what I wanted to be impressed with myself as being. I really think this. Can I tell you something about getting close to God? You know, the closer you get to God, probably the more you'll realize how far from Him you are. You say, huh? Yeah. The closer you get to Him, the more awesome you know He is and the more powerful. And then you realize, I guess I wasn't as much like Him as what I thought I was. I guess I wasn't as close as what I thought. And education is a lot the same way. The smarter you get, the more you realize there is to learn. One of the dumbest people on the face of the earth is the one that says, I don't need to learn, I got it. I wouldn't ride in the car with them. Could be dangerous. Hey, there's more to learn. I want to tell you this also, young people. Secondly, graduation does not eliminate the responsibility of honoring your parents. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Parents have invested in you. Make their investment worthwhile. Don't waste it. There are some of you where mom and dad, you got to go to a Christian institution. You know what that means? That means mom and dad were paying taxes for a public school education, and then you got to go to a Christian school, and they paid double for that. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm trying to put you on a responsibility trip, though. Honor your parents with your education. Honor your Heavenly Father. Be good to your mom and dad. Nowhere in the Bible does it say once you've graduated from high school or college that you no longer have to honor mom and dad. Honor means treat with respect. Treat them with dignity. You know that each time that you obey your parents and each time you are submissive to God, I think God has a way of extending our lives. That's why it says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, keep honoring your parents. Realize there's more to learn. Thirdly, whatever you do, work hard. Work hard. Psalm 62, verse number 12 says, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Work hard for the Lord. Those of you that will further your education, some that will graduate from high school and you may go on to college, and then some that will graduate from college and go into maybe a chosen profession, just be a hard worker. I'm a country boy. And I'm not real smart, but there's one thing I was taught to do when I was young, and I've never regretted being taught. I was just taught to work hard. And you ever meet those people that are just brilliant? They're real smart, and book learning comes easy for them. Wasn't that way for me. Good gravy. I knew people that could study for 5 minutes and get an A, and I could study for 5 hours and get a C. And wow, did I have to work at it. I had to work and work and work. But I'll promise you something. Hard work always pays off. God always honors hard work. And to those of you that sat before me tonight, don't base the way you work hard on how everybody in the world's doing it. They will not. You're not in competition with them. You're gonna work harder than that. There's a laziness out there. There's an apathy. Oh, you work as hard as you can. That'll pay off for you. There's an old saying. It's the harder I work, the luckier I get. And let me tell you something. It's not going to be luck that will cause you to succeed. It'll be hard work. So, it's graduation time. Make sure you keep learning. This graduation time, make sure that you honor mom and dad, and don't get too big for them. Keep loving them. Keep respecting them. Make sure that you work hard in your life. Let me warn you, and this is number 4, it doesn't matter what level of life you're at, wrong friendships will destroy you. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy with God. It may be that bad friendships could be more dangerous to you in the next era of your life than any of the others. You know, when we're growing up and we're around mom and dad, they have their way of throwing their hints to us about our friends. But as you grow up, and you live more and more life. Mom and dad are around less and less. You have more independence. Mom and dad are not as dumb as what we sometimes think. Pick your friends wisely. I'm glad of something for my life. When I was your age, I decided this. I'd rather have no friends than to have bad friends. And I guarded my life. And there were times when I felt like I had no friends. It felt that way. You've got to be careful. Friendships will destroy you. That doesn't matter whether you're just graduating from an educational institution or you're 50 years of age in this auditorium today, watching in as I talk to the graduates. Friendships will make you or break you. They will make you a success or they will destroy you. Be careful with your friendships, even though you're graduating, and even though you're an adult, be careful with your friendships. And so my challenge is, this is graduation. It's not the end. It's the beginning. There's a lot left to do. Make sure you keep learning. Make sure you keep adding to your honor and respect of your parents. You keep working hard. Make sure that you keep picking your friends the right way. And young people, I would be amiss if I did not at least mention this for a moment. The first greatest decision that you'll make in your life is whether or not you'll receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And all eight of you here tonight, you've received Jesus as Savior. You're brilliant. Best decision you ever made. Best decision you've ever made. Now I'm going to tell you the second biggest decision you'll make, and that is who you will marry. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. Marriage is honorable. Honorable means lofty. Everybody look right this way. Marriage, young people, it's not a game. Let me tell you what you do. You become the right kind of person, and then you will qualify to marry the right kind of person. Some people say, I tell you what I want. You're better off deciding what you're going to be. You say, I'd really like to have that champion of a Christian. They might not be interested in you. You need to become that kind of Christian. It will therefore qualify you to marry that kind of a person. Stay pure. There is much to learn in life. You may be graduating from high school. You may be graduating from college. But I'm going to promise you, about a week into marriage, you're going to say, what do you do about this? And there's a lot to learn. But you can learn it. You can learn it. But I'll promise you, biggest decision you ever make is whether or not you'll receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Number two, who you marry. Who you marry. Be cautious. Be careful. Take your time. You say, I'm 18. I'm going to be an old maid. You're going to be fine. Relax. It'll be okay. You take your time. It's worth being careful. I promise you. A couple more things and I'll be done. Young people, stay in church. All of you, you've grown up in church. You've been around church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, listen, don't take a job that'll take you out of church completely. Bad move. Can't even be the will of God that you work a job like that. God never intended for someone to miss all the church services. Stay in church. Get into church. It'll help you. It'll make a difference. And that's not just some preacher talking. That's God talking. Keep yourself in church. And may I recommend you stay in the right kind of church. Stay in a church that's true to the old-time religion. Stay in a church that's true to the Bible. Stay in a church where, where the preacher will tell you the difference between right and wrong. You've just got to stay in that kind of a church. It's graduation time, but it's not the end. It's really the beginning. It's the beginning of the rest of your life. Let me tell you this. Number seven, learn to do right with your money. Learn to do right with your money. Earning money and making money can be a lot of fun. It's delightful. It's pleasant. Boy, it's got its rewards. But learn to use it right. Don't ever let money control your life. Use your money right. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon there would kind of be translated in modern day vernacular as the word money. God said, you got to be careful. Don't you fall in love with money, and don't you let money make all your decisions for you. Learn how to use your money. I want to make a couple real simple statements about money, and if you would all listen to me, one day when I'm dead and gone, and you'll be living your life, you'll be glad somebody told you this. Don't spend everything that you make. Save. Save. Don't buy everything you want. Restrain yourself. And I know you say, well, I'm 17, I'm 18 years of age. Just listen to your pastor. Save for retirement. You say, that's a long way away. I could have some gray-haired people stand up here tonight and testify to you, and they would say to you, listen to that man. He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. The world will let you borrow all sorts of money. Be very careful. Matter of fact, they're dumb enough out there to let you borrow more than what you can sensibly pay back. Don't let them make that decision for you. Be careful. Make sure you're faithful to God financially. You know what? I have never met anybody who is faithful to God financially who said, I regret it. I met all sorts of people who were not faithful to God financially who would say, I'm reaping the consequences of being unfaithful to God. And so, what are we talking about? Becoming yet wiser. I'll be done in about 3 minutes. So if you're wondering when the old gray-haired man's going to shut up, we're getting close. And it's not even 8 o'clock yet, folks. So we're doing good. Let me tell you this. Graduation from high school, graduation from college, or maybe I should put it this way. Being age 18 or being age 21 does not make sin okay. You know, some people say, I can't wait till I turn 18. I can't wait till I turn 21. To do what? Psalm 78, verse number 8 says, and might not be as their fathers a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright. Young people, nowhere in the Bible does your age qualify you to do things that God said you're not to be doing. United States government thinks that they supersede the scripture, and they don't. God says something is wrong, it's wrong. If God said something is sin, it's sin. You say, well, I turned 21, I can go get me a fifth of Jack Daniels and get drunk. According to the Bible, Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You say, but I'm 21. Nowhere in the Bible does it say at 21 it's okay to go do wrong. Your age does not qualify you to sin. In America, they say you're not supposed to buy cigarettes until you're 18. They need to raise the age. You say to what? 218. And if you can make it there, I think you deserve to smoke one. You say, well, will smoking send you to hell? No, but just make you smell like you've been there. But turning 18 does not qualify you to do wrong. Turning 21 does not qualify you to do wrong. Pornography is wicked sin. Vile, nasty, wicked sin. And our country says you need to be 18 to be going in and out of those places and watching that sort of stuff. God says you're never supposed to look at that sort of stuff. I'm just trying to tell you, turning 18 or 21 or graduating from high school or graduating from college in the world, they say, look, we're adults now. Look what we can go do legally. There's a law that is greater than the law of the United States of America or the law of Mexico or the law of Canada. It's the law of God. It doesn't matter if the United States government says this is legal. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. You can go to the bank on that. You know, the gambling and the casinos, some states say you have to be 18, others say you have to be 21. It's hard enough to get your money. I wouldn't go waste it. But you ought to obey the scripture. Did you know that immorality is wrong? It doesn't matter how old you are. It's wrong. It's wrong. Now, I've given you a little challenge. I want to tell you one other thing. I gave you some things that I really think you ought to consider. Keep on learning. Keep honoring your parents. Work hard at all that you do. Guard your friendships more now than ever. Realize marriage, second largest decision you'll ever make. Stay in church. Do right with your money. And don't let your age or your level of education convince you that that qualifies you to go against God and go against what God calls a sin. Now, but I want you all to remember something. I am your friend. And if you go out and do some dumb things and mess your life up, I want you to remember this. I'll be here and I'll help you. If you don't listen to the preacher and his preaching, I throw fits about things and say, don't do this and don't go there. I don't want you to do those things, and I do not want you to mess up your lives, but I want you all to understand something. If you ever do mess up your life, you come see me, because I will love you and I will help you, and we will rebuild your life. I don't want you to go mess up your life. Don't you ever be afraid to come see me. You don't have to worry. You say, well, preacher, I was afraid to come talk to you because I did the things you told us we ought not do. Everybody does some of that. But you just tuck it in your heart tonight at our baccalaureate service, and you remember your pastor said he loves you and he'll be here for you. And when you goof up, you just come see the preacher. You'll be treated with dignity and kindness, and we'll help you and we'll get you back on track. I hope you never need that, but I want you to know, if you ever do, I'll be here. I plan to help you. We're proud of you. I want you to go serve God with your life. Oh, the potential sitting here on this row. Incredible. I hope you do something wonderful with your life, and we're proud of you. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You'd like to come, we're going to have an altar call. Although this is a baccalaureate service, it's our church service as well. If you're not saved, if you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, if you're here tonight, maybe you've heard something that is a challenge to you, to your life. I wonder how many people really could have used a little speech like this from somebody when they graduated. Somebody who would have warned and guided and directed and lovingly helped them to do and think right. Maybe someone here tonight would say, you know, Pastor, I know you were talking to the graduates tonight. But God spoke to my heart. God touched my heart in something that was said. I think it's going to help me. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, God did speak to my heart. Hey, and graduates, think about it. But you'd say, God did speak to my heart somewhere in that sermon tonight. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. Lots of hands. You may put those down. It's our way, and we always do this. We're going to have what's called an old-fashioned altar call. If you're not used to that, we even do it at baccalaureate services because we happen to believe there's a time when folks sometimes just need to kneel and take a moment with the Lord. So this is what's going to happen in a moment. I'll signal Rachel. She'll begin to play. We'll all stand. We'll have a moment of altar call. If you need to come and pray, now, I don't know, if you're a mom or a dad, you say, I want to pray for my graduate. And graduates, if you want a moment on your knees. Graduation, it's not the end. It's actually the beginning. How do you know that you're ready? Well, you probably won't feel like it. You'll be intimidated by what's out there, which will cause you to keep your antenna up and keep on learning. And a wise man increases in his learning. That's what we want for you. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. The altar is open. Need to come and say a word of prayer. Ask God to work in your life. Ask God to give you correction, direction. The challenges are there, and there are many. We won't be long. In a moment, we'll have the altar call concluded. We're going to have one person that wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Again, it will not take but a moment to do that. We'll have the reception and you'll be on your way. Graduation is not it's not the end. It's really the beginning. It's not where it all concludes. You rebuke a wise man, they'll love you. You rebuke a wise man, they're going to become yet wiser. They're going to increase in learning, and it will multiply your years. Multiply your years. Play the song again, if you will. We have those that are yet at the altar. Thank you. One more time through the song, Rachel. One more time.